Lifers podcast. Get with it or get forgotten.
Welcome all you lifers out there. It is MMA Mondays done on a Sunday again here, episode 8. It's been a couple weeks, I think, now, or just 1 week. I think we've been gone.
About a week. We can wait two weeks, right?
Unfortunately, Mikey won't be joining us tonight, so we're going to have to, you know, hold it down for him right now.
We got Mikey in spirit.
Right? Before we start, shout out to Kev, who's been just the man of many talents right now, who's just hooked us up when it came to not only having our own channel right now, which MMA Mondays, but having all the other shows and giving them their own proper channels on the Lifers Podcast Network now. So if you want to go check out all the other shows that we offer, I'm talking about Coach's Corner, I'm talking about Fit for Lifers, we got the regular Lifers Podcast, and now I believe we have TJ's Podcast, which, my goodness, it's the name is killing me. Game Time Decisions as well. We have all these great shows. We also have some great merchandise. So if you want to pick up any of our shirts, Lifers shirts, just use MMA Mondays as a promo code. Get 10% off. And you can be rocking one of the many shirts that you've seen us rock in any other podcast that you've seen us do. With that being said, make sure you like, subscribe. Let us know what you think of the podcast. I know you're missing Mikey's pretty face right now, but I promise you we can hold it down as well. All right. So with that being said, I think, you know, last week was Benavidez, right? Just a week ago. Right.
Yeah, just about 10 days. Yeah.
10 days, right? Because I was this kid's record. Mm-hmm. I unfortunately was working, so I didn't really get to catch that fight. I know you and Mikey, I believe, did. I saw some of the highlights when it came to poor Benavidez. And we saw the kind of the premiere of the Wolf, right? That was his debut in the UFC.
I didn't know that was his nickname. Is that his nickname? Because I've been calling him Big Eagle.
It's like Borsh. It's like Borsh, and I think that's Russian for wolf.
Get it out of here. He's the Eagle. He's Khabib. Khabib Singh. Khabib G. I don't know. Bigger Khabib.
He looks like legit.
Yeah, like he's Khabib. I don't care what anyone says.
I don't want him at 155.
Khabib's big brother, bro. Like, no, they're not gonna fight. Yeah, first off, he's too big for 155.
Yeah, I don't know if he'd make it to 155, but my goodness.
Yeah, I just wanted to briefly go over some of the fights that were on the Benavidez card, and then we can go into this weekend's card and talk about it more. But
let's do it. What did you think? What kind of stood out to you in that last? Besides, obviously, I think I hope I'm not butchering his name. I know it's like Kamzat or
Kamzat. Chayaman? I don't want to say it. I don't want to try to say it.
I know, right? I feel like Chayaman, I might be butchering.
Chimaev.
But something like that.
That dude.
I'm gonna go with Wolf.
Yeah, the Wolf.
What a great way to kind of start. I mean, start his UFC debut. Start his career. Yeah.
To take a middleweight fight on short notice is tough enough, especially when it's not your weight class. To come out there and bulldoze a guy, I think it was 80 strikes landed to 2 strikes landed until he finished him in the first round. It's ridiculous. It's more impressive because I've had a lot of people say, like, oh, he's just Johnny Walker. Why is everybody hyping him? He's like, there's just some quick finishes. Let's wait till he fights somebody, you know, top 15, top 10.
Gives him a challenge.
But, like, it's not the same. These aren't flush knockouts. These are maulings. These are muggings in the street. Like, this is shit that you can't stop. Like, he's really out here just taking these people's lunch money. And
he is, and he's they young can't stop too.
It. Yeah, and like, dude is an eight animal. Like, I don't even know what to say, especially because he's on the next card we're going to talk about next. Like, 10 days turnaround. Like, who does that? I mean, I know there's other people that were close. You had Chaz Skelly did a 12-day turnaround and won both of his fights as well. Yeah. But dude did it in 10 days. Like, that's just madness.
And but, I mean, yeah, he was on the 10 days and two different weight classes.
Yeah, I know, middleweight and welterweight. So that means you can get the smoke in 2 weight classes. Man, go ahead and set it up a pound for pound. Like, he's ready.
Ooh, imagine him and a Darren Till.
Oh, Darren Till don't want that, bro.
We'll talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, he's never going to stop Whitaker from taking it.
He does not want to be on the ground at any point.
But just on the Benavidez card, We had Joe Duffy losing via submission guillotine in the first round, and then he retired afterwards, which was, yep. You know, it's tough. It's good for a fighter to know when to hold him and when to fold him, all that jazz. He hasn't looked like Joe Duffy of old. Like, if you ever watched, like, old Joe Duffy, he had, like, crisp boxing and good jiu-jitsu. Like, he was a good, well-rounded fighter, but, like, these kids are catching up to him. And yeah, if you ain't evolving.
You could see it like Eddie Wineland, man, who's like the
right.
I mean, he's really the last of like some of those like gunslingers when it comes to like the UFC of old, of like, you know, leaning towards like not Chuck Liddell, but around like right after that
era. Right after that wave. Yeah,
exactly. He kind of was the first one to kind of start that wave. And now that's catching up to them, you know, and you know, you're not as fast. You don't have some of the power.
Yeah, you're not as quick as you used to be. Yeah.
It's rough. But
that was sad because I like Joe Duffy personally. It was sad that he lost to me, especially like fairly easily. Yeah. But it is what it is.
Right.
Ariana Lipsky, she had the worst knee bar. Like, not the worst, but like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone get put in a
photo finish looked bad.
What is Oh, it's going to kill me. It wasn't a twister. It was something else where they, like, wrapped the leg up. She got put in a submission first. I am blanking on the name, and it's killing me. But she got put in a submission first.
Lipsky?
Lipsky. Lipsky was actually in a submission before she got the knee bar.
Oh,
so
wait,
she's in a – it's where, like, they wrap their legs around your, like
– It wasn't they, a like, calf slicer, they, was it?
Yes.
Calf slicer, okay.
She got put in a calf slicer.
Yeah.
As the girl's trying to climb up her back to, like – finally like kind of seal it off, she kind of breaks away and then reaches down, pulls her leg up, and then just bends backwards for like dear life. And I was like, I've never seen anybody get put in a cast slicer. Just like, you can have that leg, bro. I'll take your leg.
I'm gonna take this one right here.
It was amazing.
Because that one, I think the cast slicer really uses, I believe, like the shin on it to really just make it feel,
and unless you can get like that grip from behind them, then you can't really finish it. And as soon as she kind of broke away to take her legs, she was like, I'm taking it. And it's not like the other girl could get up because she wrapped her legs around. It was beautiful.
Where does Lipsky fight? What division? She's not, is she straw?
I want to say flyweight, but I don't honestly know. She's not the smallest girl, like, not that she's big or anything like that, but like, you know, you can tell the size differential of the women.
Does she seem taller?
I would say she's definitely. I would say flyweight if I had to guess. I'm not sure, but I know that her ground game is legit, bro. We had Jack Hermanson defeat Kelvin Gastelum via heel hook in like no time. Kelvin.
Oh shoot! There goes my ESPN app. There you go.
Goddamn ESPN. I always fuck up everything.
Always doing some dumb shit.
Yeah, I swear. Oh, man. That don't even get me started when I was watching the fight. So I was like, what the fuck is wrong? But yeah, Hermanson finished Gastelum via the
Joker.
Did you get to catch that one or the highlight of it?
I saw the highlights on that one, but it looked like, I don't know, man. I don't know if that Izzy fight took something out of Kelvin, man. Like, took some of the confidence out of him. But but he really should have just kept it standing. Like, I don't know why he felt maybe it was a knee, because at one point he tried to take him to the ground. No,
try to go for it. So I know that when he got in the leg lock, even Darren Till said this over the weekend. He said it didn't look like it was that tight, like, or he didn't know how to get out of it or something. But it looked like he just tried to just turn and then step out. But once he couldn't step out, he just didn't know what to do. And he just kind of like froze.
Yeah, push against his butt or anything.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. And it was, even Gastelum said he was embarrassed. He said he wants to come back better than ever. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
At the same time, a lot of these guys probably aren't used to dealing with leg locks submissions. You might not know what to do when you get caught up in a position. I mean, when's the last time you seen anybody roll on Kelvin Gastelum's ankle? Like,
So, and I mean, and Joker's, you know, no pun intended, no joke when it comes to his submission game. Like, he
100%, 100%.
So, I mean, maybe there was just something they didn't, because he was, I think, he doesn't, I don't believe Joker, like, really, he uses it, but it's not like his, lately, it hasn't been like his bread and butter. Like, he tries to stand.
Yeah, he's had some more stand-up fights lately.
Exactly, he's been trying to stand, so I'm sure Kelvin was thinking, all right, he's most likely to try to be in my realm, so that's what I'll focus on. And, I mean, you feel for him, right? Because it's like, you know, I've heard a lot of commentators just mention, you know, he's kind of on the smaller end of those middleweights, you know?
Yeah.
He's,
well, like, for me, like, I wouldn't mind if he went back down to welterweight. You know, he made his run at middleweight. A lot of his losses have come to him being the smaller guy. Chris Weidman finally got on top of him when they fought, and it wasn't even a contest. Like, that size plays a factor.
Yeah.
You know, he may have thought that he had the power to step out of a heel hook from Jack Hermanson, because somebody else who put him in a heel hook that he was able to just, you know, power out of. And then you had Izzy, like, that. Obviously, that was more of a brawl, but you know, he made his run. If he's willing to, like, really be serious and committed, like, I would like to see him try to go back down to welterweight.
I think he could still do well at middleweight. I just feel
he needs
like his confidence back, because bro, you went toe to toe. You went toe to toe with one of the best strikers right now in your division.
100%.
And survive. I mean, granted, I thought that fight should have been stopped. When like, and they let it slide because it was like literally the last 5 seconds he was getting pieced up back.
Yeah.
You know,
after he dropped him in the end,
at the end. I mean, and it, you know, I forgot. I don't know if it was Herb Dean, whoever the ref was, gave him, like, let him kind of get beat a little bit to essentially finish the fight without getting
finished. I will say that
he was moving too. Don't get me wrong.
I was there. When the fight happened,
when
it was happening in real time, like, it, like, he went down, but it was a fairly quick sequence in real time.
Okay.
As you're seeing it, like, you know, play out, like, he drops him, he's trying to finish him, he can't get it before the bill's done, kind of thing.
Because I just remembered, like, Joe Rogan saying, okay, this needs to get stopped, because he had gotten dropped, I think, in that round, like, three times.
I think that was probably more so the biggest,
why it looked as probably bad.
Like, because you'd already dropped a few times, like, it's gonna look even worse when I finally put you down and start.
But I mean, these losses haven't been horrible, you know. It's not like he's getting
right
no fight
outside of the Hermanson loss. All of his other losses have been respectable. He was beating Weidman until he lost. Him and Izzy had to go, like, it was the fifth round was the deciding round, and even then it was a close until he started getting dropped a lot. And he was beating, like I said, he's beating Weidman before he lost to him. All he lost, he's really got blown out in was the
So do you think with this win for Joker, it lines him up with whoever wins, you know, out of Costa or Izzy? I mean, you know.
I think him up with Whitaker.
That's what I was going to say. Or do we think, because obviously we know Whitaker won now, and we'll talk more about that fight, but since he won, where does that put Joker? Because Joker, you know, he kind of set up his stock thinking that Paulo Costa is going to be the new champ.
Mm-hmm.
And if by chance, let's say Paulo Costa does beat Izzy, do you think that lines Whitaker back up for contention?
If Paulo Costa beats Izzy, they do immediate rematch. I'm telling you this now.
Yeah.
They like Izzy. They're putting a lot, investing a lot in his stock. He's on the cover of the game. If he loses, they do immediate rematch.
Do you think if he gets finished, he'll get an immediate – do you think regardless of his loss, if he gets flatlined?
I think
– do you think they'll give him an immediate rematch?
I think they're Cody Garbrandt him. Like, fuck it. Like, we're going to put all our eggs into this guy right now. He's a flashy striker. He talks good. I think they immediately rematch him even if he gets blown up.
I think opposite. I think if he gets flatlined within those first two rounds, if Paulo Costa just puts the pressure and is able to catch him, I think he does get an eventual rematch. Like, I don't think he's going to have to fight anybody to get back. I just think
– yeah, like, it could be a scenario where he took time off and then, like, he didn't fight anybody in between Paulo Costa
murdering. Because I'm thinking if Paulo Costa's healthy, most likely if he knocks out Izzy, he's not going to have taken damage at that point.
If he knocks out Izzy, it would be early.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be within the first two. So Paulo Costa most likely is going to be healthy. They most likely will want to continue the momentum of Costa. And I think Robert Whittaker most likely gets the opportunity to fight Acosta. And then unless they absolutely just, you know, unless Paulo Costa specifically wants Joker, because Joker kind of gave him the nod that he would be the next champion. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious how that would play out. But I'd be really kind of shocked if they gave Izzy a rematch after being knocked out of it.
He's the cover fighter. Like they're gonna push him.
But DC, I mean, look at DC. I mean, granted, DC won the first
right.
in knockout fashion, and Stipe got his. But Stipe also defended the belt for a while. I mean, he defended it just once against Joel, right?
Yeah, according to him, it would be his second title defense.
Yeah, all right,
because he won the interim. Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Because you could just flip that and say that Izzy fought Robert Whittaker, beat Robert Whittaker, defended versus Kelvin Gastelum in retrospect, because where Kelvin was at the time.
That's true.
Division. I don't know. Speaking of Gastelum, who do you think Gastelum should fight whenever he fights again, depending on the weight class? I assume he'll stay at middleweight as well, but
I know. I wouldn't mind. I mean,
because I would have said Till. Till's leg got blew out.
Yeah, and I mean, there. It seems like they're trying to set up Cannonier, right?
Cannonier. Cannonier just had surgery. We don't know where he's at with recovery. All that.
So I mean, who's healthy at this point? It'd have to be. I mean, if they wanted, that'd be somebody that if. Kamazat, the wolf, wants to fight a name because he feels he's ready.
Well, I know he's going to want a veteran. At minimum, he's going to want a veteran next, maybe not a top contender. But, like, you know how it goes. Like, you beat, like, the random guys in the beginning.
Yeah.
You get an old guy, an old vet, like an older, you know, still a tough guy, but an older vet, a la Eddie Wineland, Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Yep.
See how you do against him. After that, then you bust him into the top 15. See how they do against top 15, top 10, top 5, et cetera.
I agree. I mean, if it's not – yeah, I mean, I don't know who Kelvin – because if you were to fight the Wolf, I would hate that matchup for him just because this could –
I hate anybody versus the Wolf. Like,
yeah, right now, right?
I mean, it's the same thing with Khabib. It's one of those style matchups where it's like he doesn't really have a bad style matchup only because we haven't actually seen him get hit by anything. And I've watched some of his highlights before he was in the UFC. His striking's not terrible. Like he hit a guy with that doggy style uppercut where they hit that dip and then caught with the uppercut that Khabib does. He hit a guy, knocked him out cold, and then dipped out after he hit him. Like it was beautiful. So he's not like unaware on the feet either. You just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah,
I don't know. I really don't know what's next for Kelvin either, though. But.
Right? I mean, I can't remember any of the other guys that are in the division that would be worth him honestly fighting.
I know Chris that is wouldn't come back to middleweight. You could do a Chris Gastelum too, I guess. Loser leaves town match. I don't know. It's tough. The middleweight division is a good division right now, but a lot of people are injured. A lot of people having surgeries. A lot of people can't leave countries.
I would say once a lot of these guys are healthy again, then they might kind of throw some names.
We'll see how it all plays.
I'm not going to take a fight that's not in the top 10.
For sure. I don't know. Like he may be trying to. He may. It may be one of those things where maybe he wants to take a guy that's like 12, 13. Build his confidence back up, then get back into the.
You're right. I mean, I guess as long as it's nobody out of the top 15, he can at least stock it or maybe potentially raise it a little bit depending on how he ends. But yeah, it's rough for him, man. Good for Joker, but it's rough for a guy like Gaston.
No, I thought that Hermanson would submit him, but I thought Hermanson would submit. Before he was scheduled to face Weidman, I believe, and I thought he was going to submit Weidman too, but Weidman pulled out of that fight. And then he ends up submitting Gastelum too, so it didn't really matter.
Of course, we got it.
We had Davison, right? Davison and Benavidez. Benavidez got walked through. It was light work. It was Conor McGregor, Eddie Alvarez, easy. Oof. Like, just every hit drops. Oh shit! Oh, what'd you hit me with? Like every time. Like if who was it? I think it was Cormier too. They were talking about it. I think during the fight or maybe post the fight, where they were saying since they had already fought, he had already felt how hard Benavidez hit. So he knew whether or not he was okay with staying in the pocket with Benavidez, what kind of power he had. Like they went longer, you know, obviously in the first fight than they did in this fight. And he had already experienced everything he could hit him with. So once he came in there the second time, like they was like, he has no respect for him at all. Like he just walks in, doesn't give a shit, hit me, I don't care. Like I know I hit harder than you. Like,
yeah.
And every time he hit him, he stoned him. Like
that's for nothing. His head is bigger too.
Who?
Figueiredo's like Figueiredo, right? That's his last name.
Mm-hmm. Figueiredo.
He's got like a blockier head, bro. Like a Chris Leben type head. Like,
yeah. Well, I think he's really a bantamweight, really flyweight.
Yeah,
That's why he has, you know, a little bit of trouble with that weight cut.
Yeah,
but he walked through Benavidez. It was tough, and I mean, thankful for Benavidez, he's got Megan Olivia on his side because he really winning out here. But
yeah, I didn't know they were married, man. I saw that. I was like, good for him.
I know, winning. You know what I mean?
Good like, for him, bro.
On the cage for you.
I remember like when Henry Cejudo had won the other belt, and I think. Like one of the
Bellas?
Bella twins.
Yeah, the Bella twins were taking pictures with him.
Like, bro, what is it gonna look like? You walking next to a Bella twin with like, bro? You're gonna get dwarfed, my guy.
No like, matter though, because he got his little snacky snacks with him. You know,
no, dude. Hey,
it'll look fine. It'll look like some gangster. We'll make it work. Gangster. We'll make it
work. but yeah, I mean, where does at this point it kind of stinks because it's like, where does Benavidez is never going to get another. Like, that was his last title shot.
As long as Figueiredo is champion, unless Figueiredo decides to move up to bantamweight, do some kind of weird shit, as long as Figueiredo is champion, Joseph Benavidez will never be champion.
Yeah.
Honestly, as long as Figueiredo is champion, I don't know if anything flyweights will ever be champion. I feel like Henry Cejudo passed off his, I'm beating everybody's ass to Figueiredo at flyweight. Said here, do whatever you want, and now because like for Jan, for instance, who's now the bantamweight champion, I don't know that he'll have that same kind of.
It won't have the same like he can't go. I don't think he has the clout to be able to go up to Jan and be like, "Y'all challenge me," you know.
But I think Figueiredo is gonna hold. If he stays at flyweight, he's holding the belt for a while.
They might get rid of that division still, man.
Oh no, Dana said now that Figueiredo murdered Benavidez. He likes to have him as the champion there.
Okay.
Now, the issue is whenever he's not the champion there, then we get back into the flyweight dead again.
I'll tell you this much. There'll never be a pay-per-view main event where they're the card, where they're the main event.
No, which sucks. No. But like, you could co-main him under Amanda Nunes.
Sure, for sure. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's not new. That's always
the way. The only way you could argue him headlining a card is if he's fighting like Cody dropping down or some other big enough name. And then also you would stack other fights under it and stuff, you know, and such.
Yeah, I agree.
But it would be the only way that you would headline him with it because it'd have to be another big name. And there are no big name fighters.
No. No, unfortunately not.
Unfortunately.
Right? Damn, yeah, I mean, it kind of sucks. It's like, who else does this kid fight, you know, as a champ now? Like, who else is there? I don't really know too many of the flyweights.
I believe they had, hold on real quick, I just had it up. I know they had Alejandro Pantoja on the card, and he lost. But he lost to Askar Askarov. Maybe Askar Askarov? I don't, because since Alejandro Pantoja was the next guy anyway. Because he was put on the card in case Figueiredo missed weight and they needed somebody else to fight or somebody couldn't fight because of COVID. Since he was that close up, maybe you could do the guy who beat him versus, and I mean, I guess you could do Pantoja versus Benavidez and Askarov versus Figueiredo. It's tough because that division is just. The division has been shallow, though. It's not like surprise.
You know? I mean, once, you know, they were lucky enough that they had somebody like Cejudo once, you know, DJ was gone because they were already thinking with one of the best to ever do it in DJ to kind of getting rid of it because they just couldn't – they couldn't sell the fights, unfortunately.
I wish Figueiredo was there
at that time.
Right after DJ left. because that would have made, because there were, you know, a few more flyweight names at that point still.
Yeah.
And they've just cut so much excess off of it. It's like, maybe they have a top 10 flyweight. I don't know.
Maybe.
Because like they really cut like five or six guys out names, of the flyweight division and like name guys, like to me anyway.
Yeah, I remember a lot of them were posting when that was happening.
Yeah, because I was surprised when they cut Dustin Ortiz because he's always been a good scrappy fighter.
Yeah.
I don't know if John Moraga's still there or not.
I don't know.
Then they didn't want to keep Sergio as well. But we'll go ahead and move on to that next card that just happened this weekend.
Just happened last night.
Which
I think started with our boy, with the Wolf.
No. Reese. That was the main card. You wanted to
That was the main card, you're right.
Yeah.
Prelims. I think I caught in and out because I was kind of running around my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I caught a little bit of the Ronson fight. I saw you know who else turned around too and came in, who fought again. I mean not as recent as our boy, but Tanner Bozier, kid from Canada, who got a knockout win, I believe, the last time he fought.
Oh yeah.
He got another knockout win.
Was that the guy with like the mullet and no
Yes.
tooth? Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, he stood out. I mean, I remember him for the mullet and no tooth.
Yeah. Right.
Cause like I still remember when I was watching, I was like, man, I can never rock a mullet. Like, what's up with this dude? Like, but to each his own.
Right.
Yeah. There were some good fights on the card. Like you said, the Jesse Ronson over Nicholas Dalby. Man, Dalby looked good. Like Dalby looked big. Like he looked like Jack. Like this is the first time I ever seen him really big like that. Do you know what weight class that fight was at?
Because, I think it was. Was it one? Second, it was welterweight, 170.
Okay, I know Ronson called out one of my dudes, Jalen Turner, after
the
fight was over, and I was surprised because I was like, "What are you about Jalen Turner? Like he's fighting at lightweight. Why are you? Then you're fighting at welterweight." I didn't, but maybe he was taking that fight on short notice to get back into.
I think he did mention that he liked. I believe in the interview, I think he had mentioned that he liked to go back down to.
Oh, okay, I mean, because he's a small dude. He was a small dude for sure.
Yeah.
But like, don't hate on nobody making weight. Like, they're not missing weight. Why are you mad at what they're doing?
I mean, I think he was just trying to call out fights because he self-admittedly, I think he said, he was like, you don't know who I am, but I'm coming. So I think he's just trying to get his name out.
I believe it's his second run in the UFC, and he lost.
I think so.
And then now he's he called out a couple guys I know, Trinaldo defeated Jai Herbert via TKO.
That was
crazy because like I was watching that fight back and Trinaldo's getting messed up. He got put down a couple times. Like I was surprised when he got the knockout because it's like he just hit him in like an off switch and
he's
just like
he hit him. He like hammered. It's like it was just like sudden trauma to the top of the head. Like that's like one of the worst knockouts.
No, he shook his brain clearly.
Legit. Like that's like what Deontay Wilder did to Luis Ortiz. He hit him like on the top of the head and just and put him out where he fell flat back. Didn't put his arms out. Nothing.
Oof. Anthony Pettis did it to Charles Oliveira. He had kicked him in the head, but he didn't kick him. Like he like kicked him and like flicked up and then he's like, and then he just kind of like just shut off.
Yeah.
But I think it's just because you shake that brain up, and then the brain's like, "All right, time to put you to sleep, bro."
It's a
trying
wrap.
To protect myself. Yeah.
Ooh. And he tried to walk away, and Herb, I think tried to let the guy defend himself. I think because he thought his arms were up, but he got caught with those last three punches, and then he finally broke it up.
You know what was? That was messed up. As I'm watching it, and I know Herb got a lot of, trash from this weekend and maybe rightfully so a little bit there. I didn't understand this one. Like the guy got dropped and he was clearly out of it.
Yeah.
And then Trinaldo's like looking at him. And he looks at Herb. And he looks at him and kinda looks at Herb like, "Well, you want me to kill him? All right." He's like,
"You gotta stop." Yeah, I mean I think it was I was listening to Big John talk about it. And he was saying that, he should have definitely probably stopped it when he saw him get dropped the way he did.
Yeah.
Um, But the benefit of the doubt that he kind of gave him was the fact that his arms were kind of up. And granted, they were stiff. Mm-hmm. But he kind of, at that point, since he hadn't stopped it, and then this guy stops, I guess he, like, I guess maybe he was in a position where he felt like he couldn't stop it just because this guy's saying to stop it. Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of like, well, hey, listen, you're not attacking him. You're technically possibly giving him time to recover right now. Why don't you it sucks, but it's kind of like, hey, make sure he's...
Hit him one more time. Yeah.
He's kind of like, hey, let's make sure he's actually not defending himself because he could be. Yeah. And then if I stop and he's like, hey, what are you doing?
He ate like three shots. Like, it was tough.
It was quick. Yeah. Well, he came in like, all right, well, if I'm going to hit him, pop, pop, pop.
Yeah. I mean, you told me to do this. I want you
right?
to do
it. And I mean, at that point, Herb's probably like, you know, I mean, look, you know, I was thinking about when Ben Askren got dropped.
Right.
Think about, granted, the referee stopped it as soon as he could. But even with him trying to stop it as soon as he could, Ben Askren ate like 2-3 shots like quick. Yeah. So
No. Jorge was not playing. He was throwing.
No, super necessary, yeah. Bro. Super necessary. So, I mean, I could see why Herb – it just sucks because Herb kind of gave him the green light like, hey, I'm – you know, he might be recovering. He might be recovering right now. So
– no, because, like, I've seen people go down and, like, their hands will be, like, you know, here, like, waiting to see what you're going to do.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just – it's a worse
– you can see the eyes.
Because, like, he's – like, say Herb's, like, behind them or something. Or in a weird angle to where he can't see that guy's face. The guy gets, you know, punched in the forehead, which was a weird shot in general. Like, fucking shuts off. He may not have seen the whole, like we got it all on camera. When we see his whole face, you know what I mean? Like, his whole face go dead, and then he's falling over, and you're like, oh, I can't believe you do this. But maybe he's, like, cutting around, and he doesn't see the whole, like, facial type of thing. And then when he gets over there.
I mean, when he circled around, he circled right around the time when he got – when he got dropped, you know, but even when you see the eyes,
yeah,
you know, it was rough. I mean, I think I get why people would be upset because of what he did. Like, but at the same time, I could see from his position why he gave the guy an opportunity to potentially defend himself, considering that this guy didn't follow through on top of him. I think if maybe when he dropped him, if he would have gone on top and even just hit him like once, then Herb Dean could have seen, okay, this dude is out, you know? But because there was that lull, he was kind of put in a position where, like, well, I can't just stop it because you
said... Now I can't. Almost like, now I can't stop it.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like... And I get it because, I mean, granted, Trinaldo did the right thing. He, like, he didn't, you know, he knew.
I mean, he could have Andersoned it. He could have just went over there and just hopped on the cage and be like, I'm done here.
You know? And he could have ran and be like, all right, I guess we're stopping it. Yeah. But yeah, it sucks. But I mean, you could tell Dan Hardy was upset, clearly.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but that's his boy. That's why. So it's kind of hard. You know,
that's why he's so mad.
When you're a homer like that, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it happens. But
no, because somebody I think it was Mikey said it best. He's like, I wish we'd get these same kind of reactions for these judges out here that are ruining decisions. Like, not like all the fights, but you know, there's been some where everybody's just like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. Like, how did you? We don't get to yell. We don't get to yell at the judges like that. Like,
no. It's true. So, I mean, and I think I'm sure when he looks back on that footage, he'll see it and be like, all right, I got to, next time I might not take that chance. And next time I just say, fuck it. If I'm looking at your eyes and you're still looking the other way, bro, you know, I got to just call it. But, Herb Dean's one of the best. So it's like, 100%. For him to have a lull like that, it's going to happen. He's not perfect. So,
right. There's much worse refs.
Hell yeah. There's way worse calls that have happened. So, you know, it sucks, but hopefully, you know, I mean, Trinaldo fought in what? Is he a welterweight as well?
He's going up to welterweight now. He missed weight at lightweight, I believe. And he said, all right, I'm officially going to welterweight. This was his first weight miss ever, but he knows that it's getting harder and harder to make 55. I'll go to welterweight. And it's not that he has a style that can be, you know, fine at welterweight as well. He's a grappler first, I would say, but he also can scrap clearly. Not that dude, clean out. On to the main card, though. We now our boy is back again.
Back to our boy.
10 days later, Khamzat Chimaev.
Right, Khamzat. Chimaev.
Defeats Reese McKee.
Reese McKee. Yeah.
Via TKO in the first round. Mauled him again.
Respectfully mauled him. Yeah. I'm talking about grabbed him.
No, like pump the jab. I'm on you. he just like pumps jab just to get inside.
Just to get inside.
You to put your hands up.
Yep.
And now I'm grabbing you and we're going down.
And immediately, I mean, he was elbowing, bro. You could see the hematoma like start on this kid's like the knot starting to form just with the elbows he was raining down on. It was incredible. It was
amazing. Yeah. We were talking about this before the show started. I believe it was like 192 strikes to 2 strikes that he's had in the last 2 fights in 10 days. It's unacceptable. He said at the post-fight press conference, I think MMA might be too easy for me. And he's like, just off the experience that I've had with these last 2 guys, he's like, this might be too easy for me. And I was just like, that's the coldest shit ever.
I love the confidence, man. I mean,
yeah.
You know, he trains with Gustafsson.
Yeah, he
trains out in Sweden. But he's what? He's Dagestani, right?
I think he's Swedish, and then he trains with the Russians, or maybe he trains between kind of scenario. I'm not sure. I don't know his whole team background. I haven't done all the research on him, but I know he. I believe when they were announcing him, they said he was Swedish, but he's fighting out of Russia. So maybe he trains with the Russian team.
Okay.
Dude is he's an animal.
He's ridiculous. And
like,
man.
Good luck to the next guy that fights him.
Like, yeah, I mean, whatever division he decides he wants to fight in. Like, I think 170 is going to be his home.
But know that the strikes are fake. You know what I mean? Like, he's not really trying to hit you, so have that uppercut ready. He's not really going to try to. He just wants to get close to you, so you better have some kind of counter strike to stop a.
Who do you think should be his first big welterweight name?
He called out Chiesa. And he also called out
Maya. Oh, he called out Chiesa?
He called out Chiesa and Maya. He called out Maya more respectfully. He just, like, threw Chiesa's name out there. But I'm cool with either of those fights. You know, Chiesa's a vet, too. Like, he might not be – and he's a grappler, too. So, like, I'm not mad at it. I think he mauls Chiesa. I think Maya would be a bit more interesting because, you know, he's the real jiu-jitsu guy. But
I don't know. You're right. I like both those names. I think I agree.
Especially Maya a little bit because like Maya's like that perennial guy that's always around.
Yeah,
you know he is the ground guy.
He's been the gatekeeper as of lately, unfortunately. Yeah. But I mean,
that puts you right there fighting any of those other guys. Like Maya just beat Masvidal not that long ago. Like you know what I'm saying? Like
it's true.
Especially if you maul Maya too. Like and he wouldn't. I don't know, like, until I see a weakness, bro, you know what I mean? Like,
I think there's more of a possibility that he'd get caught with Maya and something in his guard than Chiesa. Even though Chiesa's jiu-jitsu is off the chain, too, but he's just...
Agreed. I think
lately
Chiesa would still be a little bit too small. Like, I know he's a big lightweight, but he's still, like, a skinny welterweight. So, like, I feel like he would just body him still. Like he would just outpower him.
Yeah.
At least with Maya, you know, he fought at middleweight as well. And then
Yep. He's got a bigger frame. But you're right. Because Chiesa actually does look decently big at welterweight. But I think comparison to guys that are coming down.
Right.
Like most likely 2+. There's no way the Wolf ain't like 210 normally.
Yeah. No. There was a... picture of him with Alex in a hot tub or a pool or something, no homo. But they were they were there together and he took a picture of them. Dude like he'd fight Alex, you know what I mean? Like he's not a small dude.
Bro,
like,
no.
Yeah, like
so I mean that'd be great. If he can get that any of those fights, I think would definitely help him. I think you're right though with Damian. Damian I think gives him a little bit more clout just because he's been in the division and he's such a vet.
If you're just looking for him to get an old vet, you can throw him in there with a Diego Sanchez. Sanchez on 3-fight win streak.
To him, poor I'm guy. Just he's saying. Already, he's hey, got CT. Think, bro, he's got he's CT.
On a 3-fight win streak. He's on a 3-fight win streak. He's a vet. Everybody knows Sanchez, and Sanchez ain't the easiest guy to like keep down either. Like, dude moves.
I'm
just saying, if you just need an old vet name,
You're right. You're right. Oh, you know what I mean?
Like everybody thought, and don't get me wrong, it was all signs were pointing to it. Everybody thought Michelle Pereira was just going to get in there and get him out of there. And as much as you'll argue that he landed the illegal strike when they fought, he was still there.
Yeah.
Like, was, I mean, he Diego's still there in, like, the third round, you know what I mean? Like, you were supposed to get him out in the first round. So.
Diego will always be scrappy, that's for sure. Yeah. I'd hate to see him get mauled up.
I know.
By this
but at this point.
Because he's small, though, too, for 170.
Yeah, but you know they want to get, you know, they kind of want to get Diego out of there. this guy.
Not like this. Not like this, Dana. Not like this, bro.
Send the hitman in.
I like Damian Maya. I think that would be his best opportunity for like a really big name. Mm-hmm. And I think Chiesa would be too.
I like both of them.
But I think Maya gives you a better opportunity to get closer to some of the upper echelon guys than Chiesa does.
I think the bigger issue on it, really, just between those two, is that Maya is so highly regarded. Chiesa is still kind of new to the division.
Yeah.
So he would be a better opponent and still be a name, and everybody knows Michael Chiesa. So I think the Chiesa fight would be more doable than the Maya, because he's only had the two fights in the UFC against, you know, other guys who were debuting and stuff like that.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to him going through Chiesa then Maya.
Right. 100%.
That'd be fine.
Or Diego Sanchez.
Those are his first. Let's say his third fight would be against Michael Chiesa. His fourth fight would be against Maya in the UFC. That's fantastic for him. That's
Moles a great build. 4-0,
right?
Man's going straight to the title. Oh, I'm riding the wave, bro.
Bro, imagine him and Usman.
That would be. Ugh. Now we got to see how your striking is for real, bro. Because you shoot on Usman, you know, as much as people hate Usman, Usman got good cardio. Usman has great grappling.
I love Usman, man. I think he gets the job done.
You know, like the, you know.
For sure. He's not an excited fighter. I mean, it was the same thing that Tyron fell into, where he had some great knockout fights and put it on some people. You know, Darren Till was kind of the more recent outing of that, where he was like, "Hey, I can still do.
I can still get in there.
I can still drop people, and I can still put them away if I need to." But you know, he had plenty of fights where people were just like, same as GSP though. GSP had plenty of fights where you're just like,
100%. Where you just
win the game.
Where you just win the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And as a champion, you got to do that sometimes.
Exactly. All right,
but on to the next fight. We had Alex Oliveira defeating Peter Sabato, being a unanimous decision. I don't really remember much about this fight, I'm going to be honest. I probably shouldn't even brought it up.
It was straight. Oliveira did his thing. I mean, he
it was a good kickboxing fight.
Yeah, he had some moments where, like, he had an eye poke, and I think he had, like, a crotch shot.
Oh, yes.
And so that kind of lulled the fight a little bit, but he was still, bro, he was still finding his jab, man. He was able to find his target when he needed to.
Yeah,
and
I know that he was more composed during this fight, and because I think they made an effort to bring it up during the broadcast. Like, you know, normally he's out here just fucking winging shit, and he's like, you know, trying to fight smart. Like, you can't just go out here and wing on everybody. Like, you got to fight, learn how to find, like, a good medium.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember if he got caught in the first round and got dropped or something, but I feel like it was like 2-1. Mm-hmm. But Oliveira, like, kind of just, because that was another fight I kind of kept catching in and out. But he looked good from what I saw, man. He looked pretty good.
Cowboy always, you know, Cowboy rides again. He always looks pretty good in his fights. Like, nothing. Either he has like some like crazy war or something, but I think it was just, you know, standard Cowboy performance.
Yeah.
Then, oh man, this was tough. Paul Craig defeated, I'm gonna just say his last name,
Antigulov. Gazim Murad Antigulov.
Yes,
I think.
Via triangle choke. I know
I missed that fight.
This was a tough loss for Antigulov. Paul Craig has defeated two of his other teammates, I believe, also Russian. And he's also submitted both of them, also both in the UFC.
This dude, they were mentioning his, I saw like the lineup, like the kind of the preview leading up to the fight, and they were mentioning how his submission's just on another level.
Yeah. Especially, I want to say they're light heavyweights, especially being a bigger guy. Like, there's not, can you name a jiu-jitsu ace at light heavyweight? I can't think of any. Like, you hear about some wrestlers, you hear about the knockouts. You don't really know anybody who's really throwing up triangles.
Yeah, like Shogun, like technically is a black belt, but like,
he's not using.
Yeah, he's not.
Right. But
yeah, I don't know.
Legit submission threat. Like, and he's tapping him fast too. Like, they were asking him about his squeeze after. They're like, You tapped him. He tapped almost immediately when he got in triangle. Like, how tight is your squeeze? He's like, I just, as soon as I get him in there, bro, I'm just squeezing.
Him. I mean, he two minutes and 6 seconds of the first round in a triangle.
Yeah.
So
he's just waiting for him to take him down. He's like, I'm gonna submit.
Was that what it was? So he just did he was he like using any? Was he like jabbing him? Was he striking him that made him that forced him to get taken down?
I think they had a little bit of striking, but I think, like with a lot of Russians, like, you know, a lot of them are grapple-based type of fighter. Pound. Maybe he just, one of the scenarios where he shot on him and then he just caught him in the triangle immediately. But it was tough because I know he was hurt. He was hurt. You could tell he was hurt afterwards. Because he made it like a point. Like, I'm going to avenge my teammates and shit like that. And it's just And then you went out just like
that. He got submitted to. Hey, at least you're not alone, bro. You got boys.
Yeah,
you can,
for sure. At least everybody on your team can fucking hate Paul Craig. You know?
You know?
Then we had Carla Esparza. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, has there been any other prominent Scottish fighters in the UFC?
Just Joanne Calderwood is the only one that would stand out to me.
Mm.
And she was getting ready to fight Valentina for the title, but then something happened with Valentina, and now she's fighting somebody else.
Okay.
But that's the only person I can
There's only
of.
Like two.
I don't really know. There's – it was a flyweight or a bantamweight. I'm blanking on his name, but he was up there for a second. I'm not really sure what happened to him. I think he may have lost a couple of close decisions, and then he got let go. But there was one other guy.
I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Paul Craig,
For sure. Leading the way right now.
Right?
And on the next fight, we had Carla Esparza defeating Marina Rodriguez via split decision. It was a good fight for Carla. Like, I know she said that she wanted to fight Amanda Ribas. She said, I'm cool with taking her hype if I win my next fight. She just won her fight. I'll fight her after this or whatever. I think Ribas is a problem.
Carla was getting hurt in some of those exchanges, man. She got knotted up a bit. I think her takedown really helped her win that decision, obviously.
Right, 100%.
Wrestling really helped her, but Hebus is no joke, man, on the ground either.
No, she's not. And she got hands.
I mean, Carla's got she's got it. She's got some tough work ahead of her if if she beats Amanda, though, that's really going to help her stock, obviously.
Without a doubt.
She'll be put in the position where she can contend. But, man, that's rough. But, hey, good for her for, like, not backing down and being like, hell yeah, I'll fight her. Because I think she knows.
I think she'd be surprised. I think Rubus will fuck her up.
After seeing Rodriguez, I think so, too. I think
Carla. I love Carla. I've been a Carla fan for a long time, but she wasn't even throwing jabs to set up takedowns. Mm-mm. If you're just gonna go out here and just bum rush at people just to get the takedown, don't get me wrong, she won the fight. You know, respect for her. But if that's how you're gonna win your fights, well, it's gonna be a long night. Like, it's gonna be tough. Like, I don't know how long she thinks she can do that for. Because as soon as you get right back there with, like, the Jessica Andrade's and the Joanna Jędrzejczyk's and the Rose Namajunas, it's like, they're just going to fuck you up.
They're going to catch you every time you come in for that.
So, I don't know what she's going to do to help herself, like, evolve or whatever, but, I mean, she won.
I agree. I mean, she needs to figure – I mean, look at all the best wrestlers that whenever they shoot – I mean, Robert Whittaker – all the times that he went down for a takedown, they were honestly not even for it didn't seem like he was even trying to take him down. It seemed like he was trying to hit him with an overhand or hit him with a jab, grab him. And if he couldn't take him down, because the guy then he would push off and immediately go for another strike, immediately go for the hook. And I mean, he was setting up his shots.
It's a different level of former champions,
you know,
like,
and I mean, and that goes to show, but all the best ones, I mean, Khabib does it. A lot of the best wrestlers, I feel like, that know that they're going to go for that takedown will always throw in some sort of striking, always, to make sure that their hands are moving, man, to make sure they're not always going to be able to sprawl.
I mean, respect to her. She definitely dominated the ground game. Rodriguez was, like, hitting her from the bottom a bit, but I assume, you know, we get Carla Ribas after this because she accepted the, you know, the fight, and Ribas needs another good name on her list as she, you know, ascends up.
Where do they go after this?
Where does who go?
If both, honestly, because if Carla wins or he was wins, where do they go from here?
If they fight each other,
they're kind of on the same level.
Yeah. If they fight each other, I can see either one of them fight Andrade next, but it just depends on where Andrade is at. Like, I know Suarez got injured, for instance. They wanted to give her a title shot, but they couldn't because she's having surgery and stuff. Maybe by the time she comes back, they could fight Suarez, because depending on how long she's out, I doubt they just push her right back into another title fight. Yeah. Maybe they make her get one win before she gets right back
in there. See where she's at after
all that. Yeah. But that's what I'm thinking anyway right now.
That sounds good, honestly. I mean, they could throw it to the wolves. They could throw Suarez to the wolves, honestly, depending. Because she might want that title shot, honestly.
I already had it, then why can't I just ask
exactly. for
it? Exactly. So, Jose got it, you know?
Yep. So, I mean, it'll be interesting, man. I mean, either way, no one's beating the champs besides, I mean, especially.
Only those few. I would say the only people who have the chance of beating Zhang are Joanna. And Rose,
yep.
I would argue still Jessica, because she is still evolving, and she does have good power and stuff like that. But because Zhang walked through her in the first fight, it's just tough. And then also, like, Zhang's going to be there all five rounds. Like, you have to have the cardio to be able to keep up with somebody like her.
It's rough. But, it's rough for anybody.
It's just that's a tough, like, top five weight class, too, though.
Yeah.
Like, Tatiana, Jessica Andrade, Rose,
and most likely because there's really nobody else on the bottom, like they'll always kind of be able to keep their stock up in that area.
Right. It's like
until the next bantamweight
division was for a while with Dillashaw, Cruz, and Garbrandt were like alternating each other for a while.
But there goes. Go ahead. Then we had a Fabricio come back.
I called
it. You look good. Like physically.
I was like, I don't understand why everybody was treating Alexander Gustafsson like he's Francis Ngannou. Everybody's like, he's going to knock Fabricio out cold. He's going to do this to Fabricio. I was like, man, Fabricio fought Mark Hunt. Chill out. Like, he's not worried about no damn Alexander Gustafsson. No offense to Alexander Gustafsson. I love Alexander Gustafsson. But I didn't understand where these people were coming out, and everybody was like, oh, my God, Alexander Gustafsson looks massive at heavyweight. Oh, he's going to fuck Fabricio up. He's going to knock Fabricio up. I was like, man, Fabricio's going to submit him. What are y'all talking about? And I said this to so many people before the fight, and everybody laughed at me. Everybody laughed at me. Like, Fabricio looked fat in his last fight. He got outstruck by Olenek. I was like, yeah, but he outgrappled Olenek, too. That's why he didn't get finished, because every time he took him down, he was dominating him on the ground. And Olenek ain't a chump on the ground. I was like, he's going to submit him. I was like, I promise you. And then, sure enough, here we come to the fight. As soon as Fabricio got him down to the ground, he dominated him.
Quick.
I was like, what was that? And they were like, oh, no, like, you thought Ellis. No.
For me, it was depending. I was looking at it as, like, depending on how he looked physically was whether or not he was going to win the fight. I felt like if it was going to be the same Fabricio that came to fight the last time, he was going to get pieced up. I didn't think he was going to get knocked out, but I thought, if anything, he was going to get fucking just outstruck the whole way through.
And I'll say this. That's possible. I would have taken the last Fabricio that showed up still to be Alex. Because if he got Alex down, he would submit Alex.
He would submit him.
Flat out. Their grappling is not the same.
No, you're right. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Alex did show for just a second when he had his chance. He did pop that jab, hit that like Glover Teixeira uppercut that he, you know, messed Glover Teixeira with. I mean, he popped him. Wasn't enough though, because as soon as I got close enough, I just took him down and I submitted him quick.
Fabricio looked physically. He looked way better.
Yeah, much better.
And I think, bro, because even in the energy that he had with Olenek, like Yeah. He just looked like he just didn't want to be it. Like he was like, fuck, like I'm just kind of like.
That's after a 2-year suspension too and getting off
steroids.
Granted,
I get it. Like, I get it. I mean, I think honestly at the same time and in the middle of a pandemic, so who's to know how his training was? Right. I totally get it. I mean, at that point, I'm like, well, don't take the fight then, bro. But
agree, but like, you know.
But they got to get paid too. So they got to make their money one way or another. So
no, that's his first fight in 2 years.
I'm glad that he had that good showing against Gustafson because I was picking him to win against Olenek. I thought he was gonna, and then when I saw, I was like,
I thought he would have beat Olenek as well. Yeah, as soon as I saw his body, I was like, I should have watched the weigh-ins.
You're right. Yeah, but he looked, looked amazing against Gustafson. Mm-hmm. Once he got him, it was like the moment you saw him standing up and have his back, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly the moment. First off, when I saw him trying to stand up with Fabricio on his back, I was like, "Oh shit, this is not good.
This is not good."
Bigger problem is last fight on Fabricio's contract. Do you think he resigns with the UFC? Because I think that
was his last fight.
This was on his contract. Do you think he resigns? I know he said before the fight happened that he didn't think he was going to resign.
And most likely he won't, honestly, if that's the case. If his mind's already kind of there, then probably not.
No, like, but honestly, I think he still wants to fight. I think he doesn't want to resign with the UFC.
No, exactly. I think, I mean, realistically, if you look at the division, I don't see him beating any of the top guys, really, which, I guess, that's a lie. I don't see him beating Francis.
I don't see
him. You know, but besides that, I mean, he has a chance. If he gets his hands on you, man.
Right. I think he can beat Lewis.
Yep. I agree.
In shape, Fabricio could still beat Olenek.
Yes. Just in the sense of,
like, he still out-grappled Olenek on the ground. I think so, too. He just lost on the feet.
Yep.
Stipe's retiring. Not Stipe. DC's retiring.
DC's retiring. So
I personally believe that Stipe's going to retire. If not, right after the DC fight, maybe one fight after. It just, that's where it feels like, that's where his head's at right now. And he can't beat Francis. Let's go ahead and be honest. Because Francis just got hit on one time. He can, and I'll say this, let's be honest though. If he can get Francis down, like, he would have to struggle to get Francis down. But if he could get Francis down,
I think he could submit Francis for sure.
There, it's just like, I mean, Fabricio's still a threat. Like, no matter how much everybody wants to act like he's done, he's still a threat.
You're right. I mean, I think for him though, he might look at it like, well, is it even worth me attempting to try to get some of these fights when he knows that Francis is kind of the next in line to be praised by the UFC and kind of put up on this pedestal? Yeah. And would he have a better shot going to, you know, Coker and Bellator and be like, hey, I'll take on some of these heavyweights over here.
And Verdum was a Strikeforce guy, no?
I think so. Yeah.
Strikeforce?
I thought so.
Right. It's been a long time, but I'm old.
No, for sure.
Hard to keep up with who was where.
Right.
I want to say Fabricio fought in Strikeforce as well, but maybe I'm just getting confused. I would say right now, if you had to book Fabricio right now, maybe him, Curtis Blaydes.
I would be mad at that.
You know, Curtis Blaydes like around a top 10, top 8, top 7 kind of guy.
He always stays in that area.
Yeah, I wouldn't go crazy and book him against Francis unless you wanted him to die.
No. I mean, and again, if this was his last fight,
I'm saying like if he resigned.
Because and I think that also depends on how much they pay him. Because if let's say they do resign him and he gets decent money, they're gonna say like, all right, well, we're gonna give you a decent motherfucker to go through, and they might give him.
At his name value, Fabricio Doom probably worth $250 a fight.
Probably. I mean, he's been around, man. He's a former champion.
I think Alistair makes around like $300,000. I would pair them around the same area.
Same. I agree.
But I don't know. What do you think is next for Alexander Gustafson?
I mean, you know, I don't know. He looked to me. He just looked like fat Gustafson. Like, it looked like a fat Gustafson to me.
Yeah,
I'm sure he was obviously in shape.
Had a little bit of abs there.
A little bit, but
they were surprised just... that he just didn't become just straight up fat Gustafson. Because, you know, a lot of people, they go to him with, like, I'm just going to become fat me.
Right,
and just live my best life. I'm going to live my best life and fight.
Those Swedes, man, they got some good genes to them. But yeah. I don't know. I mean, we really didn't get to see too much of him, of his debut. You know, I mean, it clearly, if they're trying to elongate his career in the heavyweight division, he needs to be put up with other strikers to just have exciting matches and just have those styles be put together. Because it clearly shows if you got a guy who's at least jiu-jitsu wise strong, he's not faring too well, which is crazy because, like, granted, you know, he fought DC.
Mm-hmm. I think DC had a hard time getting him down, though. And he had a hard time. He couldn't keep him there.
He couldn't keep him down.
That was the big issue. Same thing with John in the first one, but they really just boxed the first one. The second one, John had a better time controlling him.
Exactly. But I mean,
it's like one guy.
You know, he could fight. I could see him fighting like a Curtis Blaydes. He could fight a Curtis Blaydes. I don't know if he'd
maybe
want to
maybe a Walt Harris.
I'm not mad at that. Yeah, that's actually a good matchup too. Who else? Most one of these guys kind of.
Marcin Tybura.
Who did?
Always around.
Oh, Walt fought Alistair, right?
Right. And he did decent too. Like he was winning. He won the first round, I think it was.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then he lost in the second round. Yeah. He
dropped him. So, I mean,
I think that'd be like a better.
That'd actually be a good matchup, especially if they're both coming off losses.
Mm-hmm. And they're both going to throw hands. Walt's not really a wrestler.
No. So yeah, I think
Fabricio, we're gonna do Fabricio, Curtis Blaydes. If he comes back to the UFC,
Walt Harris, Gust.
Alexander Gustin.
That's a good matchup right there. I like that. Dana, if you're listening, make it happen.
If you're listening, listen. Come on, man. I know you're listening, Dana.
I know you're listening, man.
And Nicole,
who's next?
We had Shogun Hua defeating Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira via split decision.
That's Little Nog, right?
Little Nog. Big Nog's already retired. Yeah. I mean, it was a good fight for old guys.
I'll be honest. I missed after the first round. I missed like the rest of it because I was
in my head. It was a surprising thing. I thought, if you asked me. Now, obviously, Little Nog, of the two Nogs, he's more of a boxer, more than his brother was. His brother was the jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah.
He was hitting Shogun much harder than Shogun was hitting him. Shogun was probably hitting him a bit more, but he, like, when he was tagging Shogun, like, you could see it on Shogun's face. Like, I was impressed. For this to be your last fight, y'all are both, like, you know, right around 40 years old.
Yeah.
Old guy's been fighting for a long time, at least the last 20 years.
Legit.
Like legends, and I've seen much worse old guy fights. Shout out Bellator.
Right.
They actually were trying to get after it with each other. What surprised me is that Little Nog was hurting Shogun so much that Shogun started to wrestle. I was like, what the hell's going on?
Yo, like, and took Shogun him down though, but like took him down successfully. Like, I was surprised.
It was a decent shot. I was impressed by both guys, honestly. Like, I know they're old. I know, you know, people might like bag on them or whatever, but I thought they both looked good for what they could look like versus each other. Little Nog, again, he was showing good power in there to the point of where he forced Shogun to start wrestling. Shogun don't wrestle nobody. That's how you know he's getting hurt.
Shogun was doing some of those leg kicks that he used to too in the past.
Yeah,
I mean, of old Shogun of old, but you're right. I mean, it looked to me, it wasn't like a Tito's Chuck type of.
Right.
You know, like it was, they both seemed to have their wits to them. They both kind of were, you know, obviously they both lost a step, but they were going after, man.
They were really after getting after it. Like I was
awesome.
I was going in there prepared to talk shit. And when I came out after the fight, I was like, man, mad at it.
Right?
I'm not mad at it. Y'all did y'all's thing.
Good for you guys, man. Good for you guys. You're strong, man.
That's a way to retire. You can retire with a head held high on that. I ain't mad at it.
I don't know
if Shogun's retired. I know Little Nog's retired.
You're right.
I heard some people saying that it was a dual retirement fight, but it didn't feel like Shogun was retired after that.
I didn't see any of the announcements.
It felt like Little Nog was
retired. Yeah, I didn't see any of the announcements. I saw Little Nog, but I didn't see anything about Shogun. I mean, I think Shogun honestly should.
He should, but, yeah.
But if he wants to continue making a paycheck, fighting, you know, kind of, you know, being the gatekeeper for the light heavyweight division.
As much as anybody will hit on Little Nog, I think he was like maybe 4-2 in his last six fights. I'd have to pull his record out. Really? But if I remember correctly.
That's not bad. I mean, granted, those fights are probably separated by years, no?
Right.
Some of those.
But, like, in general, still to be able to hold that record at his age. But let me check real quick. But it was a really good fight. I was impressed by Buzz because I was like, first off, as I'm watching the card, I'm like, who's the co-main event? It has to be Fabricio and Alex, right?
That's what I thought initially too.
I was like, there's no way they put fucking Shogun and Little Nog. This ain't in Brazil, boys. Now, we don't need you to.
Now, question though, when Fabricio first came back, was he the co-main event on that fight night card?
I think he was,
and I think because he came out the way he did, Dana was probably like, "Nah, fuck that shit. I'm not gonna give him the co-main again. Let's give it to the Shogun and Little Nog, some legends here." I think that's the only reason, because I thought the same thing. I was like, "How is this the co-main event?" But you're right. I mean, they both came out to fight. They both were like, they weren't trying to take it easy. They were both getting after it, man. And Little Nog was not fucking around, man. He was landing. Yeah,
and I just looked it up, and he was 2-2 in his last four. I didn't feel like going back any further past that because I was already at 2016 at that point. So
hard. Yeah,
he's fighting once a year. But you know, for older guys, still be out there, and he was knocking dudes out still, like. In this last like little run he had, I don't. If Shogun fights again, Corey Anderson, that too high, maybe too high.
I mean, it'd be good for Corey Anderson to have a his name.
Yeah,
and I don't see anybody that'd be necessarily good for Shogun.
There's no matchup for Shogun. Yeah.
You
would. There's nobody. Nothing. Really? I got nothing.
Yeah, legit. I don't know.
I'm not even gonna try to fake. Like, there's nobody. Like, if they can find, like, maybe they give him a new guy. You know what I mean? You know, young guys need the old guy to get them over, kind of thing.
If he stays with the UFC, if he's fighting the UFC,
if he's not retired,
unfortunately, he's gonna be the gatekeeper for them.
No. Gatekeeper actually like holds the gate down. Like, that's he's gonna be the true. Guy. He's gonna be like the door greeter, like not a gatekeeper, like
like your debut, right? You're gonna be Shogun,
right? Like
gatekeeper, he's 52, bro. Don't worry about it. He'll be
gatekeeper right. Might be able to keep a few of these young guys out of the castle,
Shogun, right? Like we'll see.
Welcome to the castle,
poor Shogun, man.
But no hate.
Right. No, we're just talking shit. Then of course the main event, man, Darren Till, Robert Whittaker.
Yes.
I love it, man.
Probably the number one contender fight, honestly, at this point.
For sure.
It was a close fight, honestly, to me. I thought it was 2-2 going into the fifth round. I thought Till took off the gas in 2 and 3 and then picked it up in 4. And then going into the fifth, I thought, like I said, it was 2-2 going into it. He dropped Whittaker in the first round with that elbow as Whittaker went to overhand in. And he just dipped. And I thought he was going to go for a hook too, but it was like just like real quick. He's done it to people before. It's one of his like trademark moves because I think Till doesn't believe that he has hook power, but we've never seen him throw a hook. He only throws straight down the middle. Everything he throws is straight down the middle. It's crazy.
I think a lot of it's because of his length too, his reach. So I feel like he feels he has this
maybe, reach. But like he's not even lanky. Like it'd be different if he was like skinny big. I feel like he's got enough size under where he could throw a hook. Like you don't have to just throw everything down the middle. Who am I? You know what I mean? I'm not there until you know.
Right. I feel like he throws a lot of his straights and his jabs because it's such a direct line, so he can just kind of pop instead of having a hook. Whereas it's like total opposite for Force. Like he throws his jab, but a lot of times he throws it to mask his.
You keep calling Robert Whittaker Forrest Whittaker.
I keep saying Forrest, right? Jesus, Robert Whittaker. Well, I gotta watch like a Forrest Whittaker movie or something to get him out of my. Like,
he's calling to you.
I know, right? Gotta watch Star Wars or something, Rogue One.
What did you think about the overall fight between both of these guys?
I liked it, man. I liked it. You know, I think it was – I feel like people who might not have watched them fight before would have been like, what are they doing? Like, because there was a lot of fainting. Right.
There was a lot of –
fainting, bro, especially from Till.
A lot of Till Matrix ducks. A lot of, like
– Till was, like, just – oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Till was just constant fainting.
What? Right? Yeah. It was a high school fight.
But I mean, some of these kicks, bro, like that Robert Whittaker in particular would throw, would like, so he'd throw like this, like a hook, and then follow it with a kick, bro. And that every dip, time.
I call it the TJ Dillashaw, but Carlos Condit was the first person I've ever seen do it.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
It's like,
Yeah, bro. Yeah. And but it comes so fast.
Yeah.
And they said it both best. It was like a game of chess. Like you, they were waiting for somebody to make the wrong move.
Robert Whittaker said his most technical fight he's ever been in, because everybody else, let's be honest, he's brawled with most of these other guys. Like he brawled with Izzy when they fought. Mm-hmm. He wasn't trying to be technical with Izzy.
Nope.
He brawled with Yoel every time he fought Yoel. Well, they weren't trying to be like. Obviously, there's technical parts to it, but this was the first time where he wasn't like. And I'll say this: he had to get technical after he got dropped. I feel like until he got dropped, he probably would have been willing to try to brawl Darren Till. But after that elbow, like, set him, and I think he said it afterwards. He's like, after he dropped me, like, I had to, like, oh shit, let me get my shit together. I'm being extra right now. Let me.
Well, and he was mixing up his takedowns with it too.
That's what he started adding in.
Great. I think that's what really.
Even though him. I'll say this, you can say mixing in takedowns. He was never really able to control Till. Like, Till surprised me.
No.
Obviously, Robert Whittaker isn't Khamzat, you know, like, he's not going to just shoot on you and definitely guarantee it. Like, but Till was surprising me. Like, he had good takedown defense. Like, maybe it's just because of his stance. I know Till got killed in the second round. Like, he got mauled when he got taken down. Like, it was like 38 to elbows, like 3 strikes or something in the second. But after that round, like, he was like, okay, that shit can't happen again either. And all right, so my takedown defense is going to be right. And it never happened again. And then
he made sure he didn't stay on the ground, man. He made sure.
Honestly, both of them really had to make big adjustments. Like, Robert Whittaker came in aggressive in the first round. He got dropped for it. Till came in the second round, got taken down immediately. And then from then on, both of them were like, fuck it. Like, this is about to be strategic as shit. Mm-hmm. Like, and yeah, you gotta be careful. I enjoyed it. I loved it. Enjoyed watching it. Yeah.
I loved it, man. I thought it was kind of like the one thing that worried me about Whittaker, which was kind of what worried me when he fought Izzy, was he has this bounce when he's doing his feints. Like, and after a while, it seemed like Izzy
caught
on to the timing.
A Stephen Thompson bounce.
Yes. He's like, but Stephen Thompson throws. He has a more erratic like style and these angles where Robert Whittaker really goes kind of in a straight line a little bit. Yeah. And some of those bounces, I could tell Till was getting the timing of it. And that's how he was able to land some of his shots. The only problem with Till, I feel like he just didn't throw enough. I mean, if you look at the counts, it was 100 to 50 total strikes.
It was crazy. Whittaker
but to Till.
It's crazy because it was 100 and whatever to whatever. Like completely one way, but the fight was still close. Like, so it don't even matter if you throw a lot at this point. Like, you can clearly still keep a fight close.
Well,
like,
granted, the majority, I think, of those strikes by Whittaker were leg kicks. I mean, he was just.
And then also, like, he obviously the bulk of it came from the second round when he.
And the second round when he was on top. Yep.
I think it was like 38 strikes that round for him. Mm-hmm. So,
I liked it, man. I thought it showed. I mean, Till, you know, looked great in the fight, so his stock really isn't going to go down by much.
He loses
no stock.
Like, he just fought two of the biggest
brawlers.
And he
lost to the number one contender, technically.
Right. Like, and he just fought two of the biggest brawlers, and Kelvin Gastelum. Obviously, Kelvin Gastelum has lost some stock now, but this Hermanson fight.
Yeah.
Gastelum was one of the biggest like scrappers, and then you got Robert Whittaker, who's also one of the biggest scrappers. He really did kind of nullify both of them. Obviously, he still lost to Robert Whittaker in a close fight. So I know it was unanimous, but to me, I thought it was closer than just saying a unanimous decision. Yeah. You know, win. I thought he was going to be rougher going up to middleweight for him, but he's clearly decided on how he's going to fight at middleweight, and it's going to be a nullifying style. And it can be boring a bit. It can be slow a bit. But, hey, he's going up against the best middleweights in the world, and he's not looking bad.
Izzy straight up shouted on Twitter that, you know, even though he lost the fight, he wants to fight Darren Till eventually. So
I don't know why.
I think he wants to go with what he feels is going to be the best striker. He thinks he's got the size, and he feels he's the best striker besides himself, obviously, out of the division.
That's crazy to me. I think he will walk through Darren Till. I don't know why he wants to fight.
I think he'd smash him up too. I think Izzy needs to be concerned about Paulo Costa. I think right. Paulo Costa
100%. Like, Paulo Costa is your problem. Don't worry about Darren Till.
Paulo
Costa is a problem.
Motherfucker.
Like, he's Yoel Romero 20 years ago.
Yes.
Like, that's how you need to be looking at Paulo Costa. Paulo Costa is going to walk into you. He's going to be prepared to eat anything you throw at him.
Yeah,
he can. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah,
but he's gonna be prepared to take any shot, and I promise you, he's gonna figure it out. So he's gonna walk you down. He's gonna believe anything you hit him with is not gonna be as hard as what he can return to you. And we're gonna see like what Izzy's really made of, because Costa's not Yoel. He's not gonna back off. Mm-mm. He's not gonna wait for you. He's gonna walk you down. He's gonna hit you in the body.
Push the pace.
Yeah, he's gonna hit you in the body. He's gonna hit you in the head, and we're gonna see where you're at.
I'm curious to see how much, if after those first two to maybe even three rounds, how Paulo Costa looks endurance.
That's everyone's biggest concern right now is what you look like in championship rounds.
If he's looking by the middle of the third round, if he's able to keep the pace that he's able to keep, and he's not breathing heavy, even by the end of like that third round, that's going to be a problem for Izzy.
When him and Yoel fought, was it a five-round main event fight night or what?
I think it was. Yeah, right? I think it was.
They were the main event, right? I'm pretty sure they were the main event.
I'm trying to think.
Maybe they weren't.
Let me see. Oh, maybe they weren't.
Maybe it was three rounds. I got to know. Info's sake.
I'm trying to think now.
Costa?
No, I think they might have been the co-main, bro. It might have been the co-main.
Yeah, because they were on UFC 241.
Who's the main event?
I'm trying to click on it. It's just loading slow.
Let's see.
Let's see. 241. Okay, they were on Miocic and Cormier 2.
Cormier, yep.
Yeah, so they probably were the co-main event.
So they were three rounds.
Unless there was a title fight on there, too, another under them. So there were three rounds, and I'll say that Costa was still there in the third round. Like, obviously, he was a bit tired, but, like, they were trying to kill each other. And that's going to wear on you differently than a guy that's trying to pick you at range.
I mean, they both got rocked, right? I mean, Paulo.
They were dropping each other back and forth.
Right.
Obviously, I think Paulo was dropping Yoel worse.
More, yeah.
But they were dropping each other.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, that division, like what we were talking about before, I think, you know, if Izzy can get by Paulo Costa, you know, I think they give Whitaker a rematch. If Paulo Costa ends up winning, technically Whitaker should have the next title shot. But, you know, who says maybe he gives Joker the chance? But we'll see.
My only question is so Izzy and Paulo are supposed to fight September 13th or something like that. Something mid-September.
Yeah.
That's 2 months from now, something roughly.
Yeah.
Gonna
be like about a month.
They got to fight, and then you got to hope that neither one of them get injured. And then if they get injured or the fight is a brawl, you're looking at a 90-day suspension and then having to retrain again or go back into camp after being cleared for
that. That'll be next year.
Like, that's a long wait for Robert Whitaker. I don't know if he can sit out that long waiting for a title shot in my head. I mean, you could do Robert, Jared Cannonier, because Cannonier's still healing up. Robert's got to heal up now.
I don't know if Robert will take the chance, man. He might just say, hey, man, I want to keep my spot where I'm at.
I was listening to him at the post-fight. He wants – I know that he wants to fight Izzy again, but he did not seem like he was like some of the other guys that would be like, I'm number one contender. I ain't fighting nobody else. I'm fighting the champion. Yeah, he seemed like he was like, you know, if I got to fight somebody else, I'll fight somebody else until then, until I can get back to the title and get my belt back. I'm just trying to get better.
I mean, he might, man. He mentioned him being hungry again.
He said, y'all better look out. I'm wrestling now.
That might be his thing. Maybe he fights Joker next then.
Yeah.
And they solidify that. I mean, at that point, it'll be kind of up to him. Do you want to get paid or do you want to guarantee a title shot? I think that'll be the question that UFC kind of presents to him.
Yeah.
And because it's risk reward, right? If you take a chance, you fight Joker, you win, cool. You stay in the same spot. You're a little bit richer than you were before, and then you still fight for a title. If you lose to him, unfortunately, now you drop down. Now you lose that title fight, and it goes to Joker most likely. And now you're definitely going to have to fight somebody else, possibly maybe two people, depending on how bad you lose, to get back to that title contention. So it's kind of a risk-reward, depending on how he wants to look at it. But you're right. I think he is kind of more like, not to say a company man, but somebody who, if the company says,
he's like more of like a, almost a cowboy-esque type of guy where he's not worried about who he's fighting. He'll fight anybody.
Exactly. And they say, hey, we think you should fight this guy. Cool. I'll fight him. So I just, man, that Izzy fight. That Izzy fight's going to determine kind of where the chips fall, I think, for everybody else. And you're right. And especially when it comes to the injuries, because Paulo Costa drops.
Yeah, like nobody's just in there getting in and getting out with a Paulo Costa fight with no problems.
Ooh, drops bombs. I would love to see
unless Izzy like slips him and sleeps him or something. I know. He said if he wins, he wants to go to 205 and fight John Jones.
Woo!
Yeah. That's a ballsy call out, but I am less worried about him going to 205 than other guys going to 205.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, dude's a tank.
Dude's a tank.
I don't know what's next for Till. Till did blow his knee out in the Whitaker fight. Right. Whitaker foot stomped him to the knee and blew his knee out. He said he think it happened in the second round. He's like, I just felt it go up under me. He's like, I don't know how bad it is. I know it's messed up. I couldn't really bounce on it, but that was kind of the only thing that really stopped. So, like, I was still mobile.
Yeah, he didn't seem like too compromised in the fight.
He said it definitely did. He's like, I heard it, and then I felt it. Like, and he's like, so I don't know what it was, but something went, and we'll see, like, what it is now. And it looked like he was in, like,
good spirits.
He wasn't like it. You're right. Like at the post fight press conference, he wasn't like fighting back the pain or anything like that.
I mean,
but I don't know what's next.
He didn't look too compromised. So for him,
right.
Hopefully, it's not as bad. Hopefully, it's a quick rehab.
He's not in need of surgery. I think he is, but say he's not.
Yeah, if he's not, best case scenario. I mean, who would he fight though, man? I mean,
Cannonier.
Somebody like Cannonier, it'd have to be maybe somebody up and coming that he can kind of steal their shine if he wins to get him back up into getting them.
Well, like, you know, he's gonna want my only caveat is Platinum Mike Perry said he's gonna go train with Yoel and then fight Dan Till. Sure enough, Platinum Mike Perry went and trained with Yoel.
Yeah.
Platinum Mike Perry coming off a win. Yes, it's just Mickey Gall, but he is coming off a win. I ain't mad at it. I watch it. You ain't going to say you wouldn't watch it.
But Darren Till ain't going to want to go down to 170.
No. I think Mike Perry would come up.
That's what
I think. I don't know. That's what I think. Mike was looking big in there with Yoel. That's just my opinion. Who knows? And the only thing I'll say is it's – not the equivalent because Mike Perry isn't necessarily like a top ranked welterweight.
Yeah.
He isn't the lowest ranked welterweight either. True. But like a lot of those lightweights that were coming up at a wave for a second there and like getting immediate shots at top welterweight guys.
Yeah.
Something similar to that scenario.
I mean, I think for Till, if he fights Perry, I don't know if it would really help his stock in the middleweight division, honestly.
No.
But it'll be an exciting fight, that's for sure. Yeah, and
it'll be fun.
The motion behind it will be amazing.
Yes.
For sure. For sure.
Obviously, I don't think it's like a, you know, it's not like a rankings type of fight, but, you know, not all fights are rankings type of fights.
It'll be an exciting fight. Yeah. I'd love to see what Perry brings, you know, coming out of Florida, coming out of South Florida.
Yeah.
See kind of what he brings to the table, being at 185 too, because that would be his first time fighting 185, right?
Yeah.
So that'd be interesting. I like that. I like that too. I think more realistically might be Cannonier, somebody like that in the actual division. But
Oh, I could also see. I still want it only because it would just be a fun fight. I want Mike Perry to fight Robbie Lawler. Robbie's at, like, you know, he's on the, like, the older cusp of his career at this point right now.
Yeah.
You know that Mike Perry ain't shooting no dope. I take that back. I didn't think Mike Perry would shoot on fucking Mickey Gall.
And he did.
And he looked good doing it. Like, he was fine on the ground. And I was like, there's no way in hell you stay on the ground, Mickey Gall. Mickey Gall definitely submits you. Oh, okay. Mickey Gall doesn't submit you. Fuck it. What do I know? I don't know shit about shit.
You could tell Perry's strong, man. But sure. You're right. I think more likely not, though, it's going to be a stand and bang. Then, you know, Mickey Gall, you kind of expected maybe it go to the ground because he's a ground guy, but.
Yeah. Mickey Gall outstruck Mike Perry. Mike Perry out grappled Mickey Gall. What world do we live in?
Yep. Yeah, man, that'd be a great fight too, man. I like that. I like the matchmaking so far. What's next, man? I think the next. I don't think I saw a fight night.
I believe it is Brunson. Oh, it is Kennedy.
Brunson. Yep.
Brunson Shabazzian.
Shabazzian, who's managed by like Ronda, I think, right?
Yeah. Shabazzian? Yeah. It was supposed to be Holm and Aldana headlining, and then it was supposed to be somebody else, but Aldana got COVID.
COVID.
And in Brazil, bro. One of the things.
Look around.
I saw Thiago Santos's. I want to call her his fiance. Yana Kunitskaya, she's also in the UFC as well, Russian girl. She was traveling, him and her were traveling to Russia and Brazil. She said they didn't test it once in Russia or Brazil. And she's like, all I'm saying is, as soon as I landed in America, and the time span that I landed in America for, like, I think she said like a week, we got tested like 3 times. She's like, so I don't know what's happening in Russia or Brazil. Yeah. And y'all can talk about America and all this other stuff, but they are testing people. Like, yeah. I don't know if, because, you know, I mean, Brazil's been the hardest part right here. Like, everybody down there is getting it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because they all go to the beach, bro. They all go to the beach. They all tanning, you know what I mean?
They have some of the worst numbers. But,
yeah.
I mean, I know, like, when I traveled to PR, I went to Puerto Rico, they had free testing right there. They had free testing that you could take right at the airport. Like, it wasn't forced, but if you wanted to,
right,
you could very well take it right there. You know, they were doing the tracing where they'd ask you, like, where you're staying, things like that, your number.
So Puerto Rico. Nope. Never mind.
So, I think it's just depending on the country, depends on
their
testing and if they're enforcing people to get tested right away.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely this is going to keep happening in the UFC until the end of the year. Like, someone's going to pop, you know, unfortunately, someone's going to pop.
Every call.
Just a matter of, like, doing what they're doing. Make sure you got somebody on the wings, just ready to step in and take a fight on short notice.
Right.
Hopefully that doesn't happen in the DC Stipe trilogy. Hopefully both those guys end up.
I just need to see them two fight. I don't care about nobody else. Unless we got my boy, the Wolf, on there.
Ooh. They might, man.
I think they said something where he's trying to get on the. They're trying to get him on the DC card.
If they can do it, man, that'd be fantastic, bro. 3 fights within just a few weeks of each other.
Monster.
Whew.
Monster.
And then who else do they have? You saw the headline. Khabib, most likely going
to retire after two.
At 30 and 0 if he can get there, and
we'll see.
Gonna fight this year.
See how he feels after he's in there. Everybody always says they're ready to retire. Now, the one thing I'll say with Khabib compared to a lot of other guys is he seems a bit more real about it. Like, there's not much for show with him, it feels like. A lot of the stuff he says feels like it's true from the heart.
Yeah.
You know, other guys will put on a bit more of a facade to get money or some other kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Khabib seems like, if he says it, he's meaning it.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of it just comes culturally with his background, where he comes from. I mean, for the fact that he, like, I think DC said it, like, his car is like a Honda, bro. Like, he drives
he's a really
low maintenance car.
Yeah.
When you're in Dagestan, I mean, I know he lives, I think he lives like close to like the mountainside too. So there's not much out there besides their, you know, the gym out there and kind of just his community and his family. Like, he's not, you know, I think they all, like, he still lived with his dad and his family lived with his dad. Yeah. And, you know, they're, that's culturally just their, how they live. Generationally, they keep their families and they take care of their elders, and that's why his, you know, he had so much respect for his father. I feel like on top of just him being his coach as well as just the man in his life that just taught him to be a man. So I could totally see him retiring at 30. I think depending on who they give him, right? So I think everybody kind of assumes that most likely if he can beat Justin Gaethje, that he's gonna want to fight Tony, because that's just what he's said in the past. Like, he knows for his legacy, he needs to beat Tony.
Yeah.
I think the only reason he would, you know, fight again after Tony, if he were to beat Tony, would be somebody like a GSP. I don't think he fights Conor again.
I can agree with that. The only reason I say GSP is because I know that he had said before that that was his dad's dream fight. And so, like, I think that that would be the one person you could probably get him to fight. I think the best way to do it, and this is a bit more, I guess you could call it unfair for Tony than it is for Conor. Let Tony and Conor fight each other. The winner can then fight Khabib. Because Tony was right there. I know he lost to Justin Gaethje.
Yeah.
But if he can get, like, one win, I'd put him right back in there versus Khabib.
I think he's going to have to, honestly. I think – in the meantime,
no, like, he needs a win. But it's just a question of who he fights.
Well, the only reason why I think Tony, because I think honestly Tony could, if it wasn't for the fact that Justin and Khabib are fighting, and that most likely after that fight there's just going to be some time in between, then I would say Tony could get, like, if it was going to be like a short turnaround, then I would say, hey, Tony should get that next fight because that fell apart. But because I feel like there's going to be such a big time gap for Tony, I think for Tony's sake, he should get another fight, because honestly, Tony knows he can beat almost anybody in that division. I think almost everybody in that division. I think with a better training camp, he has a better shot at beating Justin and so on and so forth, honestly. But it's like, who does he fight? You're right. Conor would be great. I don't think Conor would want to fight him.
The only reason I said that is because it would be able to, the only way you'd be able to set up that rematch with Khabib comfortably.
Yeah.
Because, like, if Conor beats Tony, then you're like, oh, shit. Okay, well, he beat Tony, too. Right. So, like,
I think you're right. I just don't know. I'm wondering if the animosity, or if he even wants to, like, Khabib wants to deal with that. Because, God forbid, you know, Conor was saying some dumb shit before, talking about how his dad being sick was fake, that it was just
He did delete it afterwards, and then obviously you feel terrible after you say it.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, who's to say the kind of Conor we might get in that kind of promotion? And I don't know if Khabib even wants to take that chance of just dealing
with it. Yeah, because that would be crazy.
You know? Because God forbid, if he were to say something disrespectful about his dead father.
Oh, God. He's hopping.
He'll murder him.
Immediately. Yeah. Like, I know we.
Granted, I don't think.
Jokes about,
I would think Conor wouldn't. Exactly. I would think Conor wouldn't cross that line, but you never know at that point.
I would hope.
Yeah, like, exactly. But I mean, I'd love for him to be able to fight Gaethje, fight Tony, and even fight GSP. I think for the UFC, what they would want, what would make kind of more sense, is that Khabib fights. Let's say he, you know, dream world, he's able to beat Justin, he's able to beat Tony. He decides to retire, relinquishes the belt. They crown a new champion. And for him and George to come out of retirement for a one-time only kind of deal, fighter to catch weight. There's no belt on the line. The UFC doesn't have to worry about them kind of losing.
Do it at like 165 or something, maybe?
Something like that in that range. Yeah. And then and have them scrap. And then that way they can have – Khabib can get his legacy cemented if he beats GSP. GSP can get his legacy cemented if he can beat a former undefeated champion, former champion, and the UFC wins because all eyes will be on, you know, nobody, I don't think it'll be
nobody's holding a belt up or anything. Exactly. Like that.
And they don't have to worry about them losing any kind of championship belt or any kind of credibility when it comes to that. But with that being said, that's gonna be maybe sometime next year if, again, this pandemic doesn't fuck shit up anymore. If yeah. you know, if people can stay healthy,
because it's not really getting better right now.
Unfortunately, not. I mean, again, it's the cases. The mortality seems to be down, yeah. but the cases, the
infections are still going up.
It's not fun. It's still not fun to get sick, man. Like you don't want to get that shit.
Yeah, my best friend's brother just found out he had it. And he just went to the hospital today.
It got bad? His symptoms got way worse?
Yeah, I think more so right now for him, it was the fatigue of it. Like, it's just draining him.
Yeah, and, that's what everybody says, man. You just feel like just blown out, man. You're just tired, bro. So we'll see, man. You know, I'm glad that he's going to end up fighting. You know, I think that's something that I think we all knew his father wanted for him, his legacy as a fighter and as a man. To kind of finish that strong. I'm sure his father would have wanted that for him. But man, I mean, it's really, I think you'll get one or two things with Khabib, right? You're going to either get this guy that's going to be immensely motivated to live up to the legacy of what he wanted his father for him to become, right. Or he might just be emotionally drained. I think you'll see the kind of man that he is when he comes out to fight, because you got to be on point if you're going to fight Justin Gaethje. You know,
100%. I hope that he's in the right, you know, mindset when he comes in there. Because you come in wrong with Justin Gaethje will expedite that retirement. Like,
real?
Not even like as a joke, but like,
no, legit. Like,
if you come in there, and you let him beat you the way he beat Tony Ferguson up. Like, that'll make you change your mind real quick. You know what? Fuck this.
I think I'm good. I got one loss. That's all right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't need them. I don't need money. I'm good. I got my family. I got, you know what I mean? Like, fuck this.
I'm good. Shit. Yeah, man. I mean, we still got some really great fights coming up, man.
Yeah,
Bellator has, I think they rescheduled the Archuleta fight.
Yeah, I think I saw something about that as well.
Caught COVID, so that looks like Bellator's got some fights in coming up that should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I know he said something about he wanted to fight Pettis as well.
Most likely, I mean, he's going to fight. I forgot who he's fighting against, Archuleta, but they say most likely whoever wins out of that fight is going to end up fighting.
Okay.
So, Pettis looked good. So I mean,
he did.
He looked really good. So I'm curious to see what happens.
Pettis looked good, but I thought that Ricky Mendejas looked bad. Like. More so in that last round, it felt like he just didn't have a lot of confidence when they were fighting. When I watched this weekend, because Bellator happened this weekend.
It
you could hear his corner like trying to yell at him to give him confidence, and then finally, like right at like around the last minute of the last round, you could see him start landing stuff and then building confidence and walk him down, and then like he would get hit once and then.
That's what I was gonna say. It seemed like anytime he was getting caught, he just didn't want to be in there anymore. Sergio was catching him with some really good shots.
Sergio looked really good.
He was looking really, really good, man. Good for him to be able to leave the UFC and keep his clout.
Yeah, because he's like one of their bigger names now.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll see now. We'll see what they can produce, man. I think Michael Chandler, Ben Henderson they're fighting again. I think that's their second fight.
Yeah, so, Michael Chandler's gonna fuck Ben Henderson up again.
If Ben Henderson starts off slow, yeah, he better.
You come mean out. When That's... Ben Henderson starts off slow?
Yeah, right. It's true, man. There's some good fights coming up, man. I'm excited.
100%. I'm excited for everything. I'm glad to see Bellator's back now. Because
Bellator has theirs.
I'm glad to see Bellator's back now. Like we're getting back to the action now.
Get some good stuff. Well, lifers, I think we're going to end it on that note. Thank you so much for hanging out. Again, please go check out our merchandise on theliferspodcast.com. You can use the promo code MMA Mondays for 10% off on any of those awesome lifers shirts. Please hit the like, subscribe. Let us know what you think. Let us know of any upcoming fights that you're excited about or any kind of matchups that you think you might agree with us or disagree with us on. Let us know in the comments down below. And Tony, bro, always a pleasure having you. Mikey, always. Miss you. We're going to have you again next week, I'm sure. Miss you, Mike. Right? And yeah, man, we're out, man. Peace.